The Bible says, I think somewhere, it's vain to sit up late and rise up early. You better read that. Well, it's good to be in the service this morning. What part of me is here? And I'm glad to see y'all. I've been enjoying this camp meeting. And it's been real high. And I'm sure I can't make it any higher than it's been this early in the morning, especially. But we won't play, Greta. I ain't got much time, so we'll just try to say a few things here. I've enjoyed all the hospitality and the good food. Is that good food they serve here? Delicious. Amen. Almost. Yeah. Well, Lord knows how to provide, don't he? Amen. Well, whew, y'all want to stretch and get up and yawn with me a little bit? You know, I when I was young, real young in high school, I got a job working nights after school in the summertime. I got the job in the summertime, and so I'd work till 1:30 in the morning, so I didn't get up early, you know. Then I got a little older, and I got to playing in the nightclubs, and we stayed up almost all night and sleep all day. Then I got preaching the gospel, and we'd stay up, you know, have church at night, and then stay up and fellowship afterwards and eat that good food. And so I just ain't been much of an early riser, but but I'm glad to get the opportunity to preach, and whatever time it is, you know, first or last or whatever. And so I really do. I felt like I had a message for this camp meeting about 3 or 4 days ago, but then I began to wonder as it, you know, I really wondered after you asked me to preach last night, and all night I trying to sleep, and I went to sleep about 20 after 1 and woke up at 3 and dreamed a few silly dreams in between there. Woke up again at 5 and thought, man, I ain't getting much sleep. So I finally went back to sleep, and I woke up at 7. I thought, wow, I ain't hardly got time to get ready to get to church. Well, here I am without any prayer this morning and without any breakfast, and I'm going to do my best. The Lord help me. I love God's people, and we'll all get real hungry here in a little bit and go eat breakfast. That's what we'll do. Man. I got a scripture in 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. Now, the things I've got to say this morning, it may not sit too well on an empty stomach. I mean, you know, I knew I couldn't get it any higher than it's been, so I might well forget about trying to preach high and preach low, you know. So what I've got this morning is not really good news, but what I'm going to tell you is happening. It's truth. And then if I got time, and I've already used up a bunch of it, but if I get time, I may give you idea of what the scriptures say. I came in the other day, and Brother Charles Barnett was preaching, and I heard him say something about, we don't need what men preached 100 years ago. as much as we need to get some revelations for ourselves in this time. Amen. Is that right? Is that what he said? Something like that. I thought, yeah, I got the message. Amen. So I may give you one of my revelations pretty soon. And, you know, you can take it or leave it. Don't make no difference, see. But that's what I believe right now. I may change my mind next 30 days. But right now, if I get time to give it to you, that's what I believe right now. Amen. You know, if I get a thus saith the Lord, I never change.
All right, now.
Never. If I know it comes from God, you can't change that. But if I just, you know, get an idea and I'm not sure where it comes from, it may come from me or the devil or the Lord, you know. But then, you know, I'm open-minded on things. And as we see things begin to come to pass, we might change our mind in some areas and some ways, right? Is that good sound doctrine or what? All right, verse 18, chapter 2 and verse 18 of First John. Glad you got your Bibles. Is there any chance of getting some water up here? You know, just a little shot of water. Appreciate it. John said, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now, I believe in preaching the return of the Lord. I believe that Jesus is coming. I also believe the Antichrist is coming. John said, you've heard that he's coming. So somebody had preached it before John. And I got to looking, and Paul had said that man of sin shall be revealed.
Come on now, preach,
brother. Like I say, the things I want to tell you this morning are very serious. That man of sin shall be revealed. And Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, and a little later he says, then shall be great tribulation such as never was up until this time. I believe there is a conspiracy going on in this world today, a conspiracy to overthrow the United States of America, all the other nations in the world, and to form a one world government. And we're farther into that and nearer to that than we realize. It's been going on. John said, you heard that he shall come, and he's already in the world. I mean, that spirit of Antichrist has been here for a long time. Probably ever since Jesus went away. And so, there is a diabolical plan to enslave all of mankind. Amen. And to take away from us our freedom in every way we can imagine, and they even want to take our religion, our Christian heritage from us. I mean, all of us are saddened by the president we have today. Most Christians I've talked to are. If you voted for him, you need to pray through. But if you didn't vote for him, if you voted for Bush, you done just about as bad anyway. So what, you know? But there in these days in this United States, I feel like I've found it satisfies me for now where this United States is in the Bible. I've been looking for it for years. I believe it's in the Bible. But I want to tell you a few things that's happening if I can get my mind to halfway turn this morning. I want to and remember some of it that I've read and studied about. There is a devilish conspiracy going on to take away what we know as the old traditional Americanism. You know, I'm a red-blooded American, brother. I grew up with a .22 rifle in my hands. I hunt squirrels and rabbits, and they want to take that away from me. And most of you country folks is that way, too. And they're going to do it. Given enough time, they just keep trying to get bills passed. And every time somebody uses a gun in the wrong way, they make a big issue out of it to try to take our gun. Well, I'm not planning on shooting anybody. But some of them people don't know if I'll shoot them or not, you know. I mean, if a thief comes into my house and he knows I've got a gun, he don't know whether I'll use it or not. I won't use it against him, but he don't know that, see. So I think we're safer if we all got guns, don't you? Amen. Whether you use them or not, you're safe with them. Praise God. Ain't that right, Brother Ralph? That's my buddy back here. I got to hurry, man. I'll tell you, I only got 15 minutes. I'll preach a 4-hour message in 15 minutes here. Well, in 1913, they passed the Federal Reserve Act. Yeah. Brother Bill, where you sit? Brother Bill Houston. He knows something about this. I heard him mention a little of it back in Oklahoma. But y'all realize the Federal Reserve Board or bank is not part of the federal government. You know that. Good. Has nothing to do with our federal government. But most of the people of the United States, I mean, the biggest majority has no idea about that.
All right.
I've got a nephew that's an accountant, a bookkeeper, a tax man for a big company. I asked him, I said, George, I said, who do we owe this $4 trillion to? He said, we owe it to ourselves. I said, well, just write my part off. I mean, hey, if my right hand owes my left hand, forget it.
Yeah.
You know? Now, don't it seem kind of silly to owe yourself $4 trillion? Huh? You see, that's what they want people to think. But that's not who we owe it to. We owe it to the Federal Reserve Bank or board and stockholders, which is only about 300 people. That's who we owe the $4 trillion to. You know how they make that money? They tell the government to print up some more if they need it. And then they get that money printed up, and they turn around and loan it to the government. And then they charge them interest on the loan. And the interest is almost $1 billion a day.
Now listen to it.
Man, you talk about making money. That's what I call making money. Yeah, I better have that here pretty soon. I don't get too far away from here, but I ain't got the strength I used to have. I get running out there, man, I get back. Anyway, I noticed Brother Ralph got a little winded yesterday. He got to running around here. Couldn't hardly preach after that. He's 10 years older than I am, though. They have this money printed up and then loan it to the government, and then the government taxes you and I to pay it back.
Yeah.
And those men are growing richer and richer and That's untold riches. Unimaginable, unaccountable, unfigurative. You can't figure that much money. Amen. And by that, they control. And they've been in control for a long time. I feel like, I wish I could do all this, but I'm going to have to really condense this thing. I see that. Maybe tomorrow morning we'll finish it. When I first found out, I've been reading some of this for years. But I picked up a book not too long ago, and it absolutely made me sick and mad, and I don't know, you know, if I could use that word. I was aggravated and upset. I said, this ain't right. You're right, it's not right. It's the devil trying to get this whole world under his grasp. And so we have religious organization that's been going on for hundreds of years called the Masonic Lodge. And they, I believe, they're working, they're getting, they have had control of heads of states, heads of governments, rich men for years.
Yes, sir.
Our President George Bush was a member of the Masonic Lodge, also a member of the Skull and Bones, which is one of the most devilish secret organizations going today. Just rich people. Man. But since 1913, we have built a debt of $4 trillion. And up until that time, 124 years, we was a nation. We didn't owe a dime. We didn't owe anybody anything for 124 years. And George Washington warned, he said, don't let the international bankers take over. Don't let European interests control our nation. Abraham Lincoln lost his life for it. He was against a central bank. But in 1913, a man named Nelson Aldridge, which is the maternal grandfather of the five Rockefeller boys, David and Lawrence and Winthrop and I can't remember all five of them, but anyway, David's the worst one, or the biggest one. These men, with Aldridge, got this thing passed. They first tried to put it through Congress. They voted it out. They said, oh, no, they seen through it. So just like a lot of other bills, they reconstructed it and changed it around and disguised it and put it through Congress on the 23rd day of December when almost all the congressmen were home. It was a Christmas vacation. Slipped it in. Got it passed into law. And this law said that, this law put in this bank and hell, and it's in the congressional record, the men that were the stockholders' names were to be anonymous. I mean, nobody knows who these men are until, you know, they begin to find out more and more. And so, that's how they begin to get us into such a debt and have control over our monies. This Masonic organization is more powerful than you realize. And from that, there are dozens of secret organizations. There's the Club of Rome, the Illuminati, and that's one of the Masonic, started by a man named Adam Wishop back in 1700-something. And they begin to have all sorts of secret societies going on. Club of Rome, but I mean the Skull and Bones. That's one that President Bush is a member of, along with a bunch of his other cronies. You remember when he made some of his speeches, he talked about a new world order. He talked about 1,000 points of light. He was speaking esoteric language, the rhetoric, if I can say that right, language of the Masonic secret societies. That's what he was talking about. They all knew what he was saying. On your dollar bill, if you got a dollar, get it out and look at it. You've heard some of this before. And we have the great seal of the United States here. And on the front side of that seal is the eagle and the shield and the flag, you know, and the stars and representing the 13 colonies and whatever. And but on the back side of that seal, which has been there for, I don't know when they first formed this country, nobody knew what the backside of it was for a long time until in the 30s, Franklin Roosevelt had this put on our dollar bills. It's nothing but a Masonic emblem. It's a pyramid with an all-seeing eye, and that all-seeing eye is not God. Not the God we know and serve, but it's Baal. It's the sun god. It's Orias, or Osias, or something like that, Egyptian sun god. Started by Nimrod way back in his day. And I've got to hurry, man. Whew, only got 5 minutes. I ain't got the foundation built here yet. Introduction. You'll notice underneath here it says Nova Ordos Seclorum or something. I'm not too good at reading Latin. But you know what that means? Nova Ordos Seclorum. Nobody knows what that means? It means new world order on our dollar bill. Brother, here we are on one side of the coin. We used to have those old half a dollars, you know, with said in God we trust on the front side. And on the back side, it had New World Order. Or our dollar bills, here we got in God we trust, and then a New World Order. We're not trusting God. These people are not trusting God. They're trusting their God, but it's not the God we know. And so, here we are with all these secret things on our money introduced by men. You see, Franklin Roosevelt was a 33rd degree Mason. In order to get that high in the Masonic Lodge, you have to worship the devil. You have to admit that he's God. That's right. And that's the kind of men we've had running this country. Didn't that make you feel awful? I don't like for men like that to rule me. And so these secret orders, there's one called the CFR, Council on Foreign Relations. Now, this is something that really intrigued me. The fact that since President Roosevelt, all but two of our presidents have been members of the CFR. And they, and that's just a small secret organization. Now, it seems kind of strange that all of our presidents would come out of one secret organization. Except two, and one of them they killed, and the other, they made him go along with them. And he played along with them, maybe not knowing what he was doing. But they killed President Kennedy. He was not a member of that. He's not a member of the Masonic Lodge. They made him an honorary member. And Ronald Reagan was not a member. They made him an honorary member. And he probably played along their hands because of building up such more of a debt that we got. But all these presidents, members of the CFR, the CFR is a Council on Foreign Relations. They put out a little magazine to their members that's called Foreign Affairs. And on the front of that magazine, they have a picture of a man riding a white horse. And he's got this signal up, riding a white horse with this signal. You know what that signal means? That means obedience unto the devil. That's the horns of the devil. Did you know that our President Clinton, when he took his, when he, at his inauguration or sometime around there after that, when all the gays and those weird, pitiful people were jumping up and down and marching around the streets and stuff, our President Clinton gave them that sign right there. God help us. John said, the Antichrist is coming. And I see this nation controlled by such godless men. They are one worlders. They believe, they even believe that they are called of God and put in this position by the Lord to rule the world. The Rockefeller dynasty is one of the main men. He's the main one in this nation. We got the Rothschilds overseas, and there's the Warburgs, there's Kuhn and Loeb, or whatever, I can't pronounce some of those names. But anyway, there's about six or about 12 different banking firms that have stock in this Federal Reserve Board that control you and I. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter if you vote for Democrat or Republican. They're both controlled by the CFR. Our presidents, I have no respect anymore for the presidency, for the office of the presidency. I used, when I was a little boy, I used to think that'd be something to be the president of the United States. Now I believe that if you're the president of the United States, you're either deceived or you've sold out. And you've let them take control of you. I'm sorry, I love the United States. I've been to 8 different countries, and this is the best one I know of. Amen. But it's gone. It's on its way out. And I don't know. I'm going to have to quit. It's 9 o'clock. Man, I didn't get started. But there's one old preacher back home said, he said he believed that God put Clinton in there. I said, well, what was that? He said, because the people of God are not praying and seeking God like they used to. And the judgments of God come up.